The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, December 22nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, there's a number of things inside the news that I want to talk about. But before I talk about, I want to know if anybody was caught in that traffic today. I came from out west early this morning and heading towards Guardian Radio. And it was an inordinate amount of traffic. Now, mind you, I knew what was happening, though. So I tried to deviate to the other roads, not the main roads, in order to circumvent the activity on the main Thompson Boulevard, the main University Boulevard. And then I realized that the traffic is on every road. Right? Today is the annual Fox Foundation presents its annual Christmas drive, right? That's Monday, December 22nd, and it started from 8 a.m. I saw a video as early as 4 a.m. in the morning. There were cars that lined the street for miles. I'm not exaggerating when I say for miles. I'm talking about 15 minutes worth of driving the opposite way. You can see cars parked along the road, tightly parked along the road, right? This happens every year, right? This traffic went from Thompson Boulevard, actually in the stadium, come out to Thompson Boulevard both ways. When I say both ways, heading north, then heading south. Then they turn into the, I don't even know what you call that, Olympic Drive or back of the stadium. It headed back towards the back of there where GHS is. And then the traffic went beyond GHS and onto the highway. And then the traffic went onto the highway, right? And don't forget the side corners are on that way. And I'm saying there got to be some better way. Now, mind you, let me go on record and say, let me thank Mr. Fox and his daughter for their continued effort to empower, to assist Bahamians, right? Especially those who find themselves challenged, right? So I'm not hitting that. I understand what the intent is. But there must be a better way to do this, right? This impacted, especially when it went beyond 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, right? 10 o'clock in the morning. It impacted productivity. A number of people arrived to their work late because there's no side roads to go because all the side roads were blocked up, right? It impacted people's mental health. Imagine you have anxiety when you're supposed to reach to work for 9 and 10:30, hour and a half later, you're still stuck in traffic trying to maneuver, trying to get to a side road, which is also blocked up. But I noticed something. I noticed something today, right? I noticed I didn't see any police present. Now, mind you, I saw the advertisement for the drive, the Christmas drive, maybe for a week now. The organizers have been putting out information. But I didn't see any release by the Royal Bahamas Police Force suggesting to Bahamians, hey, consider an alternate route. There is an alternate route, but consider an alternate route, right? I don't see anyone directing traffic to say, well, let's make a temporary third lane or have a lane where this is just to traverse traffic, right? I did not see that. So I'm not annoyed right? Because I understand. I'm just saying that next year, it can't be the same thing next year. Mind you, this has been at least about 7, 8, 9 years, thereabouts. This has been happening. So by this time, the powers that be should have been able to coordinate, to assist in the production of this. So I conclude that either they don't know what to do, or they don't care, right? And this is what my thesis is, and I wrote something today. It's a small paragraph, right? So this is good governance versus charity. And again, this is good governance versus charity. And I said, sometimes our government has to choose what is more important. Sometimes our government has to choose what is more important because so many behemoths are hurting, with data showing that 25% of the population, let me quote that number, because Guardian Radio have a commercial that comes on said one in every four. That's 25% of the population has challenges with food security. I'm not sure if behemoths are appreciating that fact. That 25% of our population, we have 400,000 people, 25% at 400,000 is 100,000 people are having challenges in various degrees securing food. Food security. I have a issue with that number, right? 25% of our population has challenges with food security. The government seemingly tends to ignore social chaos, and I believe what is happening on the roads is some kind of social chaos that comes from these bread lines, and I'm seeing that there is an increase of bread lines. People don't want to label it as that, and I purposely use that word. Bread line, so we can appreciate what is happening, right? Everybody wants, everybody does want a Fox Foundation giveaway package. I think this year they're giving out $80, right? That's a lot of money. And we need to work that out, right? Because there's at least, I think, maybe near 1,000 people who are on this line. That's 80 and 1,000. That's about $80,000. At least $100,000, maybe even more, that the Fox Foundation has donated to empower behemoths who find themselves lacking. So I said, everybody does want a Fox Foundation giveaway package. It has now become a part of New Providence's cultural heritage. And the last sentence is what I call damned me, when I said it's now a part of our cultural heritage. We expect this chaos every year. We anticipate it. We involve ourselves, right? At one point in time, Bahamas Tripping said they serviced 30,000 people at Thanksgiving. I want you to appreciate the number 30,000 versus 400,000 behemoths. And that's not to mention how many food, they said average of the politician fed 500 people. And the various charities outlet feeding 500 people. So for our Thanksgiving, we served perhaps 50 to nearing to 100,000 people again. Again, a quarter of our population was fed. Food. And I'm not sure if people are appreciating. And I mind you, I appreciate that a number of people find themselves challenged. And I don't want to critique them or diminish them. I know that that happens, right? I'm not sure if the number is inflated. If behemoths just say, man, it's free, I go in there to take advantage of it because it's free. I'm not sure the demographics of who are on these lines, and I'm calling these lines bread lines. Anybody who's on a line to get food, I think it's a bread line. That's just me, right? They ain't getting social assistance, you know, what I say, where they're getting groceries, because that's a different thing. These people are getting a plate of food. Anyone who on the line to get a plate of food, that's a bread line. And they're patient. There are people who were on the line, I said, for four from 4 o'clock, and the event didn't open up until 8. That's 4 hours of just sitting in your car to get $80. That's some patience. And some people sat there longer because you had to wait until the line started moving. 4 hours of sitting inside the car. That's a lot of patience, right? But there's a number of Bahamians who will find themselves challenged. I believe our Bahamian government needs to address this before it becomes out of control, before the numbers doubled. I know the government doing a number of initiatives. Despite the initiatives, the numbers seem to be growing, right? Cost of living in the Bahamas is high. We know that, right? This is the most money a number of Bahamians have ever made, right? You see the minimum wage going up. Right? But their purchasing power over the years have diminished. We're getting less groceries. So now we need alternative help, right? We see we have a number of Bahamians who can't find housing, right? I'm not saying the government trying to build houses. I'm talking about can't find a rental dwelling because the down payment, the 1,500 times two, the down payment, the first and last of rent, and plus security deposits is now nearing to $3,000 to near $4,000 for a Carmichael Road two-bedroom apartment. That's a lot of money, right? That's the number of people saving over the years to just get the first and last month rent, just to move in. There ain't no furniture or anything. There ain't the light turning on, right? And then if you have to turn water on too, it's a challenge. So we need to come up with ideas, strategies, programs that can empower Bahamians and also strategies in terms of managing the issues we have. We can't have these lines being 4 hours and people and all the streets blocked up on part of New Providence. You know, it can't happen. It can't happen. It should not happen. And someone needs to speak out against it and speak to the organizers, speak to the government, and say, let's do a partnership. Because, like I said, we are impressed of what you're doing. We are not saying that we are upset of what you're doing. We appreciate it. We understand why you're doing it. We see the need for it to be done. It's just that what is doing to Bahamians is unfortunate, and it should not be encouraged, and it should be spoken out against. Okay? CARICOM and Trinidad is another topic I wanted to talk about. I came across a op-ed that I want to read. I'm going to get that right now to read it. It gives a narrative of what is happening in Trinidad. I smiled. And I wondered how this would impact the Bahamas, per se, right? Because we're quiet, but we are part of CARICOM, so we support the decision of the head. We are a voting bloc. So at this present time, the Bahamas support what is happening with CARICOM. But we have the Prime Minister of Trinidad, who's having an independent thought, saying that Trinidad must come first. She's making decisions that would benefit Trinidadians first. And I thought about when our Prime Minister voted against accepting immigrants, refugees, right? And a number of other Caribbean nations said, well, we'll do it. It reminded me of freedom of CSME, when the Caribbean was pushing that, and our Prime Ministers in the past and present said, no, we don't want freedom of movement of people because it does not benefit us. Right? And I wonder if this Kamala Prasad, last name is Bizarre, Prasad Bizarre is her last name, if she's saying or suggesting the same thing, and whether we should watch, wait, and listen, particularly knowing that our better partner, strategic partner, is the United States, who we trade mostly with. But let me get to the op-ed. It says, the headline, it's written by Pierce Robinson. And they're commenting on her interaction with CARICOM. It says a worth read, right? It says the headline was Exploring Caribbean History. Trinidad and Tobago prepares to exit CARICOM. This is the headline. They prepare to exit CARICOM. And this is a warning, right? Exit without consultation, accept or reject. And this person is saying that more likely she would leave or lead her country out of CARICOM without talking to her citizens. And like I said, it's an op-ed. So the headline, Kamala prepares Trinidad and Tobago for a strategic exit from the Caribbean by Paris Robinson. Prime Minister Kamala Prasad-Bizarre has initiated a strategic break from CARICOM by dismantling its authority in public. Trinidad and Tobago has withdrawn from the position issued by CARICOM, Bureau of Heads of Government, rejected the decision, making weight of the conferences of head of government, and condemned the CARICOM Secretariat for mismanagement, factional division, and political interference. That sequence establishes the formal groundwork for withdrawal. Regional integration has been replaced by sovereign override. The government of Mrs. Prasad-Bizarre has formally aligned its foreign policy openly with the United States and framed the CARICOM's Bureau's posture toward Venezuela as a national risk, with consequences describing the Maduro government as illegitimate and destabilizing. By declaring that Trinidad and Tobago will not bind itself to the political, economic, or security positions of the Conference of Heads of Government, the state has ended functional participation in the bloc core mechanism. Trinidad and Tobago now operates outside CARICOM as an active or participatory member. This move prepares the country for departure in full public view. Trinidad and Tobago has been positioned outside CARICOM's institutional authority through open disassociation, sustained delegitimization of its governing bodies, and a clear declaration that regional mechanism will not shape national outcomes. This shift, looking for it again. This shift looking for it. This shift confirms what I stated on December, and this is the OPEN, December 16th, to the New York Times. The government doesn't want to vocally announce its actual support for regime change in Venezuela. Everything that the government has done thus far points to that. Quite frankly, citizens are being conditioned for separation. External partners are being signaled. And the political architect for exit is being assembled. The trajectory is fixed and operational. And this is, the author is trying to be prophetic, right? Saying that more than likely Trinidad and Tobago will remove itself from CARICOM because they disagree about the bloc. And we are part of a voting bloc. We are part of a security bloc, which is CARICOM, right? Where they represent the entire Caribbean region as a whole, right? And with Prime Minister Kamala Prasad-Bizarre publicly speaking out and say disagreeing publicly with CARICOM in their stance, where we concluded that this is where we as the Caribbean stand, it seems as they she's making maneuvers to say, we prepared to exit. Y'all in representing our country at our best interest, right? And that because of that, we will find another way. There is a voice note by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, right, Mr. Frederick Mitchell. He mentioned a report, an article he wrote in 2014. It says the future of CARICOM. That was the report he wrote, where he tabled it in New York. I forget where he tabled it, but he gave a speech maybe to one in universe, and I could check it out. He gave a speech in 2014, say the future of CARICOM and the stresses and the nuances. And he made mention that at one point in time, several years ago, that there was a disagreement about with the heads of CARICOM. The disagreements were so serious that CARICOM stopped meeting, and they stopped meeting for 7 years. 7 years, they never come together. However, CARICOM survived and continued. And long and short, he said that disagreements happened, right? That even though there seems to be a disagreement, I assume, this is my how I conclude what he's trying to suggest, that's me, right? Even though that there's a disagreement with Trinidad at this present time, they don't seem to be supporting the bloc, the united front, the consensual agreement amongst all of the Caribbean nations that we speak in one accord, that we can agree to disagree. We don't have to all agree on the same point in order to be a solid body, right? That there's space for Trinidad still, even though the prime minister is seemingly have at a different opinion or at odds with the body, right? There's still space. It makes me smile because I think of other narrative where they're mentioned that the Bahamas, Bermuda, Barbados, Trinidad are not a part of the Caribbean anyway. Guyana are not a part of the Caribbean anyway. We lay outside of the Caribbean, even though we are part of CARICOM, right? And it makes me smile and say, my Trinidad might say, man, we ain't part of y'all anyway. So we could do whatever in our best interest. And that's the conversation. Is there space, even in a united front of the Caribbean, right? Is there space for individuality for a nation to say, man, that's not in our best interest as a country? We have done that repeatedly, right? You want to see behemoths get vaxxed. You mentioned CSME, right? A common currency or a freedom movement of people and working. And I know Barbados is working on something similar where other Caribbean nations can come and work there without needing work permits or whatever it is. And I'm not sure if that can work in the Bahamas. I'm assuming behemoths would get up in arms regarding that, right? There is also a letter. I want to read about the NJC, actually the Bahamas Junkanoo Festival, that I want to read in the record, right? Says the National Junkanoo Committee, that's the head, the letterhead, a news statement, and it's actually dated December 17th. So this was last week, right? It's the updated dates for the Bahamas Junkanoo Festival. The National Junkanoo Committee, in collaboration with the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation, advises the public of an adjustment to the dates for the inaugural Bahamas Junkanoo Festival. After thoughtful discussions with key partners and in light of the many cultural activities already scheduled for December, the festival team has elected to maintain only the Ministry of Tourism's daytime cultural showcase events on December 18th and 19th in Pompey Square. These activations, concluding around 5 p.m., will feature cultural demonstrations and will be capped off by a spirited Junkanoo rush out for visitors and Bahamians. On Saturday, December 20th, the celebration continues with a special people's rush on Bay Street, anticipated to be one of the most vibrant cultural moments of the season, as thousands of cruise ship passengers arrive to experience Bahamian tradition at its finest. The December schedule will conclude with a meaningful new addition, an ecumenical service on Sunday, December 21st at 5 p.m., presented in partnership with the Tourism Development Corporation and the local religious leaders. This reflective community-centered gathering will take place on the grounds of the government printing east of East Street. to ensure that a complete festival program is delivered at the highest standard and that the space needed for full experience, the remaining festival dates have been rescheduled for January 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th, with all major events staged east of E Street within the expanded Junkanoo Cultural Village. This refined schedule not only preserves the December cultural highlights, but also creates a powerful opportunity to extend the national Junkanoo season into January, offering Bahamians and visitors an enriched calendar of cultural engagement. The new festival dates now sits naturally between the Grand Bahama Junkanoo Parades, the Junior Junkanoo Parade in Nassau, and the forthcoming Family Island Parade. Together, they create a seamless rhythm of celebrations, bridging the major rushes and providing a vibrant weekend dedicated entirely to Junkanoo artistry, music, craftsmanship, and community spirit. Rather than competing with December's activity, this shift allows the festival to shine in its own movement, giving the public a fresh opportunity to come together after the national parade. We thank all partners, vendors, cultural stakeholders, and Junkanoo community for their continued support. Further details on the January program will be announced shortly. And that's end. So Junkanoo continues. It's going to seem as Junkanoo is going to be almost a month-long celebration from December 25th night, moving into Boxing Day, straight to about January 25th. Right? And that includes the Junior Junkanoo. Would like to say Go Lifeaki. They seem to be the better Junkanoo group nowadays. To the Grand Bahama Junkanoo group, Junkanoo Parade, Go Swingers. And then the Family Island People's Rush Parade. So it adds to that celebration. It gives Junkanoos and Bahamians something to come out and celebrate. It adds another dynamic dimension to what Junkanoo is. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for Junkanoos to participate. An opportunity for Junkanoos to make some more money, I guess. And an opportunity for Junkanoos to showcase their talents and their wares in particular. So I guess the delay gives opportunity for more participation of people. Right now, everybody's inside a shack, right? I was trying to get the Immortals to come on the show, and they say they're busy, right? The Immortals say they're busy. So if everybody is busy, right, and time is of essence, the last-minute trick to put on a costume, I guess some people found it challenging, man. They want to come out to the festival, but they just busy. So this give opportunity now for more behemoths to participate, right? Gives more development of the entire segment. So I said, kudos to them. I continue to support. I believe Junkanoo needs to move into to be a festival. I'm hoping that next year be something bigger and grander, more concise. So I embrace the opportunity. I encourage people to showcase their wares and talent. Bahamas, we need to get ourselves to be a global event, right? So significant that tens of thousands of people visit the Bahamas, right, to come and celebrate with us. Another point I want to make, right, before we go to a commercial break, is that a number of marinas, especially actors who work in the marina industry, and I guess if they're listening, they could call in to explain exactly their frustration. I happen to, I wouldn't say drive past, because you don't drive past Lifeaki. You don't drive past Albany. You go to Albany. You go to Lifeaki. But I happened to drive past inside the gates and saw that their marinas is full. I say, I thought the people were boycotting. And then, like, for background narrative, apparently government, and I assume it's the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Finance, have come together and concluded that they're going to raise the fees, right? They separate some charges in terms of if you're going to be cruising, you only could be cruising. You can't be fishing inside the Bahamian waters. It's either a cruising permit and a fishing permit. You apply for both, right? And there's new docking fees. And there are a number of foreigners who frequent the Bahamas who come during the Christmas season, Yuletide season, holiday season, who say, man, they ain't coming here no more, man. It's too much. So in mass, they decided to boycott. And I'm not sure if the Bahamian masses are aware that there's a major boycott happening. So they say that they are blaming the government and say, man, we ain't coming this way. We going other places, right? That's what they're saying. And they said they go into places like Turks and Caicos and further on to Caribbean. The government said, man, we make this the most money we made in a while. Man, these cruising fees making real money, changing the dynamics or in terms of how we reinvest into the Bahamian tourism product. This is good for the Bahamas. We are a sovereign country. Of course, there are one or two people who may be upset, but this is for the benefit of the Bahamas, right? And that's where we need to have debate. But there are people in the industry saying, I hear you trying to make more money, but the industries also involve us. We need to eat, right? We now have people on days, right? Because of the negative impact of what is happening. That people are working 2 and 3 days because there aren't any yachts, catamarans, boats, whatever it is, being moored at their marinas. And they are concerned because it's not happening. It's just December. It's been months of a decline, a steady decline. And they believe it's the government fees. There are other people saying it's not the government fees. This is happening throughout the Caribbean, some Florida Keys. And then, of course, some people beg to differ, right? They're saying that what is happening is the fallout of what is happening in the United States. So there's debate here, and we would need both sides to come together and debate it and hash it out properly. Is it something that decisions that the government of the United States is doing, and then people say, man, there's uncertainty. I'm not traveling at all. I can testify that this has been a slow Yuletide season for the hotels. People challenged that, and they said, you speak to those who work in tourism who get tipped. You see that their tip is lower. Their days on how much they work is lower, right? They would say that. So we would now need to have a conversation with Ministry of Tourism officials, Ministry of Finance officials, and the Ministry of Transport, who's in charge of shipping boats, right? Yachts and cruise ships, right? We need to have a discussion with them to see if there could be any compromise. Should there be any compromise, right? What is the future? How long can we survive? When I say we, I talk about the marina people in their industry. How long can they survive at this slow period? Can they survive another 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, four with this boycott? Or we have to yield and say, well, let's compromise. We're going to take a quick commercial break. This is Guardian Radio, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray. We're talking about things that is trending inside the news, hashing things out, right? Making Bahamian people aware of what is happening, right? We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have a caller on the line right now. Let's engage that caller, Kermit. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. How are you doing? What's on your mind? Is that lying blank, Kermit? No, the person gone. I'll call, you can always call back to radio. I appreciate the engagement. Or the caller call back now. Let's see if that call is available before I start again. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hello. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Well, look here, you got many topics, but one really touched my heart because I am in the field of tourism. I own a very small tour company, and I just want to say with the yacht fees, sir, believe it or not, leave it the way it is. Let me tell you why.
I listen.
These yachts, they cost enough to $15-20 million, right? And when they go fishing, I think Leslie Miller, the former MP, speak about this. When they fish in our waters, buddy, what they is kept, it's to pass these little fees for our government standing. For instance, have you ever heard about strawberry grouper?
Yes.
You got strawberry grouper and you got the black tip grouper. Strawberry grouper right now on the market is going for like $89. So imagine the guy who owned the yacht, his fee is like $1,500 or the docking fee is probably $100 a day. If he just overfished, like kids, but 16, the probably 200 strawberry grouper, conch, and whatever. Where they put in the deep freeze or where they sell it to friends back home, they make quadruple of what they catch on them big yachts to compare to the fees. So I say, sir, leave the fees the way they are. In tourism, most of our tourists, you know, they come, they want little bargains, they want this and that. But, you know, at the economy, what it is right now, we can't afford to drop no fees, we can't drop no prices. Because we'd be hurting more than we was hurting 3-4 years ago. So I say with the yacht, keep the fears. Keep the fears, man, because if you drop them, the raping of the waters and what they're going to accumulate is far more. We'd be losing all round. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And I hear your passion. And I understand there's a number of behemoths who are concerned. I spoke to some people in Marina Village who will debunk what you said. And said that passengers who have boats usually have to declare what they're bringing in, right? They're aware that there are a number of people who are abusing their fishing privilege. And of course, we have our government has stated how much fish one can capture at a particular time. Then they have the U.S. Coast Guards who help us police, and then they have the Bahamian Defense Force who help us police. But I'm sure there are a number of boats who happen to bypass all of that. And if it is true that is that many fish on a vessel coming out where they're supposed to be a leisure tour, doing tours, and they're now fishing vessels, right? That is a problem. But there was a comparison about the fees. And I wonder if I could pull that up because I had it on my page, right? And I could see if I could quickly pull that up and read it whilst I'm here. Which would suggest that our fees is not normal. It's exorbitant, right? It's exorbitant where it's completely out of character in terms of how much it's supposed to be, right? And again, that's subjective because I assume that our government considered all of that and made a decision by canvassing all of the various marinas, all the various governments in the area, and concluded that this is the best amount of money. So this says, Bahamas Boaters 2025 trip cost breakdown, new fees. Estimated government fees for one trip, not including fuel, marina, food, etc. Boats 50 feet and under, cruising permit is $500. Fishing permit is $100. Anchorage fee is $200. And let me break that down, explain that. And so passenger's tax, example, two extra is $60, right? So a boat who wants to sail through the Bahamas will pay $500. Is that a large amount of money? You want a boat? You want to cruise through the Bahamas? That's a typical hotel room, right? And you cruise through the Bahamas for 3-4 days for that $500. I'm not sure if that's a high fee, right? You say, if you want fish, you can pay an extra $100. Man, if you listen to the caller just now, $100 ain't much when you can fish a lot, right? Especially if you're here for 3 days. If you want anchor, that means if you want to park your boat, moor your boat, you can pay $200, right? If you go to Montague Beach right now, right? You see all kind of fishing vessels just parked right on the shore right there, right? They ain't paying nobody. They just park right there. And they use the word, they moored right there. There's a problem. You can't be coming to the Bahamas, right? And you don't want to go to the marinas, but you can avoid all those fees and you want to moor your boat right there. Be watching you moor your boat. You're living free, right? Surely someone need to go and tap them on the boat and say, you know, you can't park here. You just can't park here without paying us something. I have another caller there, Kermit. Prep that call so we can speak to them. Then there's a passenger fee. There's a passenger fee. The boat normally comes with two people. And if you want to bring more people, you can pay $60 per person, right? And this the fee say that's a total of $860. Let's go to the caller here now. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Hey,
good morning, Mr. Nery. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, I just wanted to join the conversation because there is a cognitive decline, you know, our cognition about things, especially environmental fallouts, persistent organic pollutants, right? So as it relates to mooring, right? We see the increased numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially on Awaki to the North Side and Montague and the likes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, given the fact that we are a very complacent set of people and we say we are environmentally conscious, but I'm looking at what are they doing to make a point about this, because we don't do any. What I'm saying is I don't know about freedom of the information or disinformation, because you're not doing any coastal region research as it relates to the impact of the increased moorings on the coastal waters. We swim in these waters, and I would like to know how are these people getting rid of their waste. You know, this is something that's been going on. But my father had boats. He would have barked at hurricane hole, et cetera, and sometime he would have moored. But what I'm saying is, I know about boats. The bigger they are, the more environmental impacts they pose. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, they use household products. They use every type of products there. The question is, how are they getting rid of this waste? And it's sickening for me for people to talk about health when we are not really being proactive as far as environmentalism. It's just a talk. There's nothing being done. Where can I go and find all these information, et cetera? So we are still in the dark ages, and this is why the shipping industry still loves the Bahamas, and this is why it's not better here in some instances. And we could pass all the false narratives we want. Everything is based on a human being's level of consciousness and cognition. And we know that cognitive decline is decreasing, especially in this digital generation, that bonding with all these devices in the hand and all the mindless schooling. But we must be careful of our environment, because we are part of the earth. Give thanks.
And I appreciate that. And sometimes we do forget the impact of these boats and that we have to have that in consideration. I have a text here that says, this is a result of two nations living in one nation. Those who don't understand tourism think it's all about money, and others are advocating for tourists to boycott our country because they want to take full advantage and have the same rights as Bahamians. And the rest are just pure criminals. Right? There are a number of people who support the government over this because they've been watching what is happening. And of course, there are a number of people who are in the industry saying, man, this is not working, right? This is not working for us because now their living is the way of life is challenged. I mentioned on social media that Laifuki Marine is packed with boats, right? And then they had boaters, Bahamian boaters, who mentioned that Laifuki is packed with permanent residents who have boats, right? Saying even though you're seeing that the number of all these boats are being docked, right? These are people who actually live here. They're not people who pass in through. So that is interesting, right? I also mentioned that other jurisdictions is finding challenge, like Turks and Caicos. And then I got inboxing, man, Turks and Caicos is full. In fact, they are now getting people who would frequent the Bahamas going to Turks and Caicos right now. But the people who go into Turks and Caicos still have to pay the $500 to cruise through the Bahamas, right? Because you can't drive. Getting to Turks and Caicos via the Atlantic Ocean, it's a challenge. That's open water. So everybody more likely will pass through the Bahamas. And this is why the government said, man, this is the most taxes they've made in a while, man. This is actually good for the Bahamas. So that is a position that is interesting that people must consider. Going down to the next part, says boats 50 feet to 100 feet, cruising permits is $1,000. Before we read, those were only 50 feet. So big boats are $1,000. They're multimillionaires, man. You own a boat, it's a multimillionaire. So the fishing permit for a 100 feet boat is not just $100 like the other one, it's $300. See, the anchorage fee is $350. So extra partner passengers will be $90 each. He said that's a total of $1,740. And it goes on, says boats that over 100 feet, say, man, their cruising permit could be $3,000. That's the mega boats. I'm not sure. There's one boat that frequents the Albany that cannot fit inside the Albany Marina. And if you go out, usually when you go out west, they say it's a Russian gentleman. I remember we had a discussion about it before. If you go out west by a Ghost Low Bend, you see this huge yacht. Looks like a cruise ship, but it's a yacht, right? With a helicopter on top of this yacht, right? This is what we call it, them big boys, right? Surely he could be able to afford a cruising permit for $3,000. A fishing permit. You know how much fish that person could carry? A fishing permit for $300. An anchorage fee for $1,500. A passenger tax for extra people is $150 per person, right? So these are mandatory government fees, even for short days. Say fishing permits are 30 days only. Anchorage fees are new. As of 2025, they didn't have anchorage fee before. We just installed that, right? And they said, man, this is too much for the tourists. This is too much for these people. And a number of Bahamians are lobbying this too. They are not supporting the government, and they have their reasons. And they said, man, this is just too much. And now we have a major boycott. They have a whole Facebook group just talking about the boycott and encouraging people who sail through just don't come to the Bahamas. This is like a resource group. Full of Bahamians too, by the way. The group is filled with Bahamians. But these are people who live abroad, who have their own boat, who frequents the Bahamas, who now have to pay for the cruising permit to sail through. But let's go to the caller. Prep that caller for me before we go there, Kermit. Got it, Radio AM. Go ahead.
Hey, see, it's good, man.
Right here, man.
I'm in the maritime industry, and the thing about it is they're not wanting to pay the fees, those fees there. It's the fact that they also include fees on the fuel purchases as well.
Mm-hmm.
They would come here, fuel up, bonded fuel, like a Freeport and thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they'll come do their excursion to the rest of the Bahamas. So it ain't those fees what they worry about. It's the actual, now the up cost and the fueling. They have to pay, and that's a considerable amount, more than that they were paying before. That's like double.
Is it too much?
It is too much, man. Because now you've got like Turks and Caicos. All yachts and things going to Turks and Caicos and all the surrounding people around us.
They're saying that eventually they'll come back home because it's better in the Bahamas. Turks and Caicos is expensive, right? That you go there, you sail through the Bahamas to get there, right? You run the, you avoid the fees, and then you realize the quality ain't the same.
Listen to the, you say you've been on TikTok and all them things,
mm-hmm.
and the same rhetoric we're hearing on those things I've been hearing daily from these people,
mm-hmm.
and we. The agency that I work for is associated with a certain yacht company in the state. It's not that they have people coming down here, they would call us and we would arrange all their permits and stuff for them. But the fact of the matter is, they don't mind paying all those fees that they could get the fuel for the same cost that they were receiving it before.
Ah.
Government has gone up on everything. So they try, it's like they're trying to eliminate the yachting in maritime in the Bahamas. That's how the people feel. And that's how all the maritime people feel in the industry.
Do you know if anyone met with the minister? I think that's the Minister of Transport.
They haven't spoken to anyone. If they had spoken to persons in the industry, the many agencies, maritime agencies in the Bahamas, speak to all the heads and come to some kind of a consensus on if this is feasible or if it can have an adverse effect on the companies and the Bahamas as a whole, which it has, you know. This administration always doing things behind people back and then coming out with these stuff. And it's us who feeling it, mm-hmm. not them.
Clearly, somebody needs to lobby. You need to go to the Ministry of Transport, speak to the minister there. I think that's Jobert Kobe, and say, man, Jobert Kobe, you need to pull back. Or go to the Ministry of Finance because they're the ones who collect the money, you know. Speak to Simon.
To certain people within the industry, and we're looking forward to that. Beginning of 2026, because that's a big chunk of revenue for agencies there in the Bahamas, and also local Bahamian people. These people come off their boats and they come into town. They spend money, so they spend more money than a person coming on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
you understand? Trust me and believe that.
I wish you good luck.
All right, sir. Thank you, man.
Thanks very much. Let me read these last texts. It's 12 o'clock, so let's see. Good day, Guardian Radio. Can you please ask MP for Elizabeth to please send a garbage truck to Meadows Drive, street of Joe Farrington Road? Most persons living on this street have 4 garbage bins, and all are filled and running over in the streets. It would be great if it could be addressed before December 25th, 2025. Please announce above on your station because calling the Elizabeth office has gotten nowhere. I know this guy. I know a Benaby guy who I can send this to. Let me copy and paste this. A Benaby guy I can send this to, and he can get the minister and the MP, Jobert Kobe, to address this. So I read it. Hopefully that worked out. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM. I wanted to read that text about rich people. It says, CA, rich people stay rich by not paying taxes or fees. Only middle-class people pay taxes in the Bahamas and around the world. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.